Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right, we are in the midst of our study dealing with the basic series, the basic gospel series, and I've spent a little more time than I had planned on this section dealing with the Holy Spirit. But for the born-again believer, to me there is no more important doctrine or understanding and teaching in the Word of God than the Spirit-filled life, being filled with the Spirit, being filled by the Spirit, and how it's done, and its various implications in our life. Just as for the unbeliever, the most important teaching or doctrine is how to be saved, and therefore for the believer, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we have spent some time on this, so let's continue this morning with a word of prayer. And the first purpose of the prayer, of course, is to test yourself to see if you are in the power of the Spirit. He is the teacher, and He is the one who will illuminate and enlighten us to the truth of Scripture. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we approach the throne of grace, and we praise You and thank You so much for the Word of God, the Bible. But Heavenly Father, we are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit for the understanding of this book. And so, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we went through our study, and first of all, we looked at Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we saw that it really should be filled by the Holy Spirit. Then point two, what does the Greek New Testament mean when it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Then three, what does the filling by the Holy Spirit mean? And then point four, how are we filled by the Holy Spirit? Point five, the verb be filled by the Spirit, where we took up the various nuance of the verb itself. It is in the imperative mood, which means it is up to you on a moment-by-moment basis whether you will be filled by the Holy Spirit. Then we'll come to point six in a moment. Let's take a look at where we left off last week. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk by wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. And now something very important about the present passive imperative of this verb that I want to not let slip by. I thought about just moving on this morning in our study, but I do not want this to slip by. Being filled, this filling of by the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see, is instantaneous. There are many believers who teach and many who believe that if you sin, especially a big sin, in quotes, a sin that offends them, that you have to sit out for a while, sit in a corner, so to speak, spend time improving. People, you do not have to do anything of a sort. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled by the Holy Spirit right now. But what about my sins? What about the sin that I just committed? Well, it may have offended you and it may have offended others. But people, little sins, big sins, were taken care of on the cross by Jesus Christ. You have already been forgiven. Be filled and be filled right now. Where have you learned this pattern before? At the cross. In your eternal life salvation. You were a sinner, condemned. You did not need to improve to be saved. Be saved and be saved right now by personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So it is with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and be filled right now. Your worthiness to be filled by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is not yours. In fact, I want to show you, so let's look at Well, I thought I had it on the board. 2 Corinthians 3:5. If you'll look with me at 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Now, let's take a look at where our adequacy for being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit instantaneously. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider as anything as coming from ourselves. Anything. The right to be filled with the Spirit. The right to pray from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, and the new covenant is the Spirit-filled life, not of the letter, that's the law, not of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If as a believer, you are dead in your sins, and we are, when you're a believer, and you sin, a mental attitude sin, jealousy, anger, pride, or a sin of the tongue, gossip, slander, lying, or an overt sin, you're dead in sin. You're dead under the power of sin. Come alive right now, instantaneously. Be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. People, this is the message of grace. This is God's message. This is the gospel for believers. Be alive now. Be filled now by faith. This is God's love. Now go from spiritual dead to spiritually alive as a believer, from the lowest point to the highest. Instantly. Instantly. The Spirit-filled life is for all believers, every believer, and give thanks to God for that. This is for believers who think they just commit little sins. People, you're under the power of sin. You're dead. Those who think in the realm of big sins. People, all are taken care of at the cross. And the Holy Spirit is in you, indwelling of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, waiting to fill you. Jesus Christ Himself is waiting to have fellowship with you. Now. So give thanks to God that this is a present passive imperative. Someone has said the Spirit's filling is not the reward of our faithfulness, but God's grace for our defeat. And that's very befitting. So be filled by the Holy Spirit, present tense continually. Passive voice received at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ and the imperative mood. Now, let's note a few things. One, filling of the Spirit is not by works, not by doing anything. No self-improvement, no works, no confession, no repentance. Simple faith, just as your eternal life, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Two, no waiting, no sitting in a corner, no improving. In fact, the longer you stay out of the Spirit-filled life, the longer you refuse to have faith in the Holy Spirit, the longer you're in the flesh, and therefore the longer you're in sin. Be filled and be filled now, instantaneously. And three, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually walk by faith. In other words, if you remember our study of Jesus Christ's words, continue to thirst. Continue to be thirsty. It is the obligation of every believer to be supremely interested in all the things of God. His Word, His plan, His life. And it's the Holy Spirit who does this, who continually explores the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Christian who does not maintain an interest, a hunger, a thirst for the Word of God, and satisfy by constant study of the Word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is not cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and is not giving the Holy Spirit opportunity to work in your life and cause him to grow, cause that believer to grow in the Christian graces. The Spirit works through the Word of God that we have stored up in our souls. This combination develops the Christian men, women, children, young people with a sense of responsibility in the spiritual realm, moral courage, stamina of the high order, a balance of poise, and a faith that withers the storms of life. So it develops spiritual giant men and women in today's society. Be filled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is absolute grace. It's free grace. It's by grace through faith. Now, we spent time last week in developing Ephesians 5:18. And there we noted the Greek phrase is really be filled by the Spirit. One thing I do want to make sure that all of us understand, while it is the emphasis of Ephesians 5:18 to be filled by the Holy Spirit, does not mean that we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to make that clear. One must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. And the verb to be filled there, followed by the genitive, and you recall from last week, speaks of that by which we're filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. So, we have two different prepositions that you might want to think about. Ephesians 5:18, be filled by the Holy Spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit pours in His fruit, pours in His love, pours in His guidance, pours into our soul. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where the Holy Spirit Himself fills and controls. Let's note a few things. One, first task is to be required as to the exact meaning of the word be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two, as to what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is illustrated by its use of another word in a phrase in Luke chapter 5:26, they were filled with fear. We're filled with the Spirit. I'm looking at Luke chapter 5:26. They were filled with fear. Now that is to say, what wholly takes place, takes possession of the mind, is said to fill it. Three, the expression filled with the Holy Spirit speaks of the Spirit possessing of the mind and the heart of the believer. This possession implies His control over that mind, over that heart. Thus the words full and filled refer to the control which the Spirit exerts over the believer who is said to be filled with Him. Four, the Holy Spirit is not a substance to fill an empty receptacle. He is a person, third member of the Godhead, who controls another person, the believer, who turns over that control by faith in the Holy Spirit. Bill Bright has in some of his literature that they pass out in the Campus Crusade, where who's on the throne in your soul? Is it you? Or is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit or you? And Bill Bright even points out that you're filled with the Spirit by faith. You're saved by faith eternally. You're filled with the Spirit by faith. So who's sitting on the throne if you want to go to that kind of concept inside your soul? Is it you in the flesh or is it God, the Holy Spirit? Point five. The heart is a symbol used to refer to the will. By the way, this flow came to a, I got this from Kenneth Wiest in the 19th century. The heart is a symbol used to refer to the will the reason, and emotions. Thus the indwelling of the Holy Spirit possesses, controls the soul, the mind, the thinking, the thought, the emotion of the believer when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You always have at your control that volitional decision. You can choose, I don't want to be in the power of the Spirit any longer. I'm going to go to the flesh and go into sin, alienated from God and come under the power of sin. Or you can continue to walk by faith in the Spirit, leaving Him in control. Point six, therefore, when we speak of a Christian filled with the Spirit, we're referring to the control which a divine person, God the Holy Spirit, has over a human person, the believer. Seven, when a sinner is saved, God breaks the power of the sinful nature, which nature had exerted absolute control over him. So the first thing, when you and I believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, God broke the power of our sinful nature, our flesh nature. And then God did something else. Then God gives him his own divine nature in the Holy Spirit. Then God gave us the divine nature of the human spirit. Then the believer is exhorted to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Point eight. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to maintain, in the actual experience of the believer, that which God did for him the moment he saved him. This is so important. I hope you can think your way through what I'm saying here. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to maintain, in the actual experience while you're alive here on earth, that which God did for you and for all who believe in Him the moment He saved us. Give an example of what I'm saying. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, God imputed you with perfect righteousness. That's your permanent status before God, permanently righteous. But in our lives, if we want to live a righteous life, that's what the Holy Spirit was given to us to do. See? God caused us to be able to live a righteous life by giving us the Holy Spirit. Another thing that happened the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, Lewis Berry Chafer came up with 34 things that happened the moment you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, and we studied those 34 things in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, being who you are in Jesus Christ. But for another example, God calls us to be regenerated, born again, born from above. Well, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we live like a born-again believer. We live like aliens here on earth. God puts us into union with Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the point of faith in Christ. We live and are transformed into the image of Christ experientially by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was given by God that we might experience while here on earth the things that we are in Jesus Christ forever. And then finally, point 10, He produces His fruit in the life of the believer in that He has power and control over. So if you want to receive the power or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, trust the Holy Spirit. So our phrase says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Three little points in summary here. One, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not automatic. Just like His filling the believer, being filled with the believer, it's not automatic. We have to make a faith decision in the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two, we are not filled with the Holy Spirit just because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And point three, the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-controlled life is a matter of a life by faith. Salvation is by faith. All right? The Spirit-filled life is by faith. Now, we'll close this segment of our study by looking at point 6, why so few know how to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Why are there so few? Throughout all church history, by the way, but especially today. Okay? Point 1, and this is from Kenneth Wiest. If the evangelist would be as I love the way he words this. It's the reason I'm taking it straight from Kenneth Wiest. By the way, I owe a lot of what we've been studying from Kenneth Wiest, Lewis Berry Chafer, Daniel Wallace and his grammar, various grammars, the studies that I have, about 5 different grammar books that I study out of, and Greek grammar books. But let's take a look at what Kenneth Wiest says in regards to why so few know how to be filled with the Spirit. If an evangelist would be as inaccurate in his statements regarding the need of the lost sinner for a Savior, the work of the Savior on the cross, and why a sinner must appropriate that salvation, as we allow ourselves to be when we teach the saints about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how many souls do you think would be saved? And the answer, not many. Not many. Point 2, it is the clear, simple, accurate, true to the word statements of the evangelist that the Holy Spirit uses in bringing men to salvation in Jesus Christ. Point 3. And if lost souls would be kept from salvation by a message which does not accurately explain the way of salvation, then saints are being deprived of the most efficient ministry of the Holy Spirit because of obscurities and inaccuracies so prevalent in the teaching regarding His person and work. How to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So people, we're in trouble. And it starts at the church. The pastor. A lot of pastors will talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, but they won't talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of pastors will talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but they won't tell you how you can receive that fruit by faith alone in the Holy Spirit. Point 4. One of the chief reasons for the lack of the power in the church is that the Holy Spirit is not recognized as he should be by the individual Christian, and much of this lack of uncertainty of the ministry of the Spirit on the part of the saint is due to inaccurate presentation of this important truth. I used to go to the gym a lot. I haven't gone since my quadruple heart bypass too much. But I used to love to talk with people in the gym on spiritual matters. And when they would come and we would talk, they came to me. I didn't approach them. They would come and we'd start talking. And I would ask them, well, let me ask you a question. How are you saved eternally? And some would say, by faith in Jesus Christ. Others would say, well, and then you knew that they really weren't clear on the gospel. Doesn't mean that necessarily they weren't saved, but they weren't clear on how they got saved. So we'd go through that, and then I would say, okay, now, having gotten that out of the way, how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And not one. And all the time that I did that, not one. They look at me like, well, I don't know. Well, what does your preacher preach about it? Now, that was sort of catty on my part, I'll have to admit. But what does your preacher preach about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, he doesn't really. And so then I would go into the discussion. People, the fault here lies in the pulpit. I think the whole problem with this country is the fault of the pulpit, not accurately teaching the gospel on how to be saved and the gospel on how to be filled with the Spirit. Point five, such a presentation not only misinforms, but makes it harder, sometimes impossible, for the clear, simple truth to be taught successfully. Six, another wrong conception concerning the adjustment of the believer to the Holy Spirit is found in the idea that the believer must empty his heart of sin, empty his heart of self, and live a separate life in order that the Holy Spirit can fill this heart. This is again because we do not correctly understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. People, we cannot do these things in the flesh. These things that I just mentioned are the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, point seven, this puts the cart before the horse. A Christian who attempts to clean up his life by ridding his life of sin, all sin, in order that he may be filled with the Spirit, will never be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is just as impossible for a sinner to rid his life of sin and live a life according to the Word of God that he might receive Jesus Christ as Savior, as it is for the saint to dethrone self and enthrone Jesus Christ. So we have to understand, first thing you have to do when you're under the power of sin is to believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, we have noted, be filled by the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In one chapter, Paul is going to give four imperatives that will add to our understanding. Now, there are several chapters of the Bible that deal with just with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be able to cover all of them in this series. The first one is the teaching on the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ in John 14-16. We did take time to go through that. Second major, I'm talking about chapters. There are a lot of verses here and there, like Ephesians 5:18. I'm talking about where there's a long discussion on the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, coming off of Romans chapter 7, where Paul ends chapter 7 by saying in verse 24, O wretched man that I am as a believer, who will set me free from this body of this death as a believer? He realized he was a wretched person. And so in chapter 8, he answers exactly who is going to set him free, and that's his discussion on the Holy Spirit. Point 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul goes through some details on how the Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit. It's a powerful passage of study. 4, 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, where we are by the Holy Spirit, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Chapter 4, verse 4, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 3, 14-21, where it is only by the Holy Spirit that we can grasp and understand the love of Jesus Christ. And then 6, Galatians 5, where it is packed with vital teaching on the Holy Spirit, vital doctrines on the Holy Spirit. And the believer, we're going to go through and look at four verbs that he is going to talk about. He is going to talk about walk by the Spirit in verse 16. Verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. And in verse 25, follow the Spirit. Four different words used to describe our lives in true spirituality. Truly being filled with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Four words that also describe more of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we put our faith in Him. The whole of Galatians chapter 5 is dealing with primarily the Holy Spirit. Let's just start and take a quick look at chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. So your status in Christ is freedom. But so many Christians go back under slavery. Therefore, keep standing firm, that is, in freedom, and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. What's the yoke of slavery? One thing, the law. You live by the law, you're under a yoke of slavery. The sin nature, the flesh. Now, coming off of this, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Compare that with 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now that you're saved, the Lord is the Spirit. God the Father is still the Lord. Jesus Christ is still the Lord. But now the Holy Spirit is the immediate Lord. You now walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. So we start off in the whole passage dealing with the concept of the Holy Spirit and in freedom. Okay? Now, go back to Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. For you were called by God the Father to freedom in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. See, both are involved now. You were called by God the Father into freedom in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead involved, brethren, believers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And this love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. See? So, we to serve one another by having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, just for a moment, take a look at chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Let's see, I don't think I put this up here. Chapter 5, verse 5. Let me look at chapter 5, verse 5. For we believers, through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Now you'll notice in the New American Standard Version, the phrase by faith has a comma on each side. This is an attempt. This is an attempt to show a very important grammatical Greek construction. The phrase, by faith, goes with what preceded it and with what follows. Okay, it looks like this. Through the Holy Spirit, by faith, faith in the Holy Spirit, then, by faith, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. We walk, we live by faith, people. So it would really look something like this, verse chapter Galatians 5:5. For we through the Holy Spirit by faith are by faith waiting for the confidence of righteous life that comes with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives. Now remember, we've already noted that the Holy Spirit makes a reality in your experiential life what you are in Jesus Christ. What you are in Christ is perfectly righteous. By virtue of faith in Jesus Christ, you are imputed with perfect righteousness. We studied that under the gospel for the unbeliever. But now as a believer, you want to live a righteous life. So it's going to be by faith. Now we come to 5:16. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Okay, so you'll note here the Spirit is put in opposition to the desires of the flesh, of our fleshly nature, sin nature. There are five standards by which we can walk through life. the flesh, the world, Satan, the law, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you are not walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, you are walking according to the flesh, by the dictates of the world, under the design of Satan, and if you're trying to live the Christian life by the law, but you're still doing it in the flesh. So we have the five standards by which you can walk through in life: flesh, world, Satan, law, Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may be thinking, and I hope you are, in this realm, what about the Word of God? What about the Bible and Bible doctrine? Well, the problem here is that if you try to understand the Bible in the flesh, if you try to execute the truth of Scripture in the flesh, apply doctrine, or live by Bible doctrine, if you're doing this outside of the Holy Spirit, you're doing it in the flesh, and you're going to fail to fulfill its mandates, fulfill its purpose, its design. But if we walk by the Holy Spirit, He will lead you into the study of the Scriptures. He will use the doctrine of the Bible to guide you in truth. For Jesus Christ called Him what? We studied this. The Spirit of Truth. So you can choose to either live by the Holy Spirit or by your flesh. Now, when you decide to go by the world, by Satan, by the law, by the Bible, and you're in the flesh, you're not in the power of the Spirit. But we need to walk by the Holy Spirit to defend our lives from the world, the flesh, the devil, and the law. That's what's going on in this passage. Now, in verse 16, Paul is addressing the problem among the Galatian believers. Now, let me talk to you a moment. Please listen. The Galatians, like so many people today, are under erroneous thinking that without the guiding and restraining of the law, they will fall into sin. And many Christians believe that today. We got to have the Ten Commandments in front of courthouses and in school books and in all of this type of thing. Boy, you take away the law, you take away that restraint, take away the law, take away the guiding of people. People, you do that and you come under the power of sin. And you turn to law and you try to live or walk according to the law. You're going to go deeper into sin. The law causes us to sin. It kills. So, if you're under the idea, well, I'm going to sin, so I need the law to both guide me and act as a restraint against sin, and that way I won't sin, you're wrong. You're in the flesh nature. Paul presents a divine alternative. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit, who can overcome the desires of the flesh. Look on in verse 17. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Romans chapter 7. Okay, let's take a look at what's going on in verses 16 and 17. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. People, please note, it does not say the flesh sets its desires against you. You are, when you're not in the Spirit, you're in the flesh. That'd be the flesh setting its desires against the flesh. When you are not in the filling of the Spirit, you are in the flesh. And therefore, there's no real contest going on. But when you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who fills you, active in you, is against the flesh. And the flesh is against the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit is in conflict with the flesh. Okay, here's your principle. The battle is not fighting sin. The battle is not trying not to sin. The battle is faith. Paul says that. The battle is faith. The battle is walking by the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit by faith. And that's why 1 John chapter 5 says what? The victory is faith. The flesh resents and resists faith at both levels, in believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and in walking by faith in the Christian life. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Okay, let's note a few things now so we have our clear understanding. Point one, let's just look at the verb. It's a present active imperative of the verb peripateo, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. It means to walk, but in the Bible it has various concepts. Here it refers to living your life. This views our lives as a step-by-step journey. When you walk, you take one step at a time. The verb to walk characterizes your life, your journey in life, every day as step-by-step. And the verb is followed by the dative of means. Walk by means of the Holy Spirit. It is the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit that enables the believer not to walk in the desires of the flesh. Point two, it's a present tense. Your eternal life salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, is instantaneous, once and for always. You're saved forever once you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But our daily life is a whole other issue. The daily walk is continual, step by step at a time. You have to walk each moment of the day. And it can get quite challenging. We have to know how to walk and be aware of it at all times. The world is at your battle with it. The flesh is a battle against it. Satan's a battle against it. Your friends may be against it. It's a present tense, constant. The active voice, people, you have to make up your own mind. Whether you want to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. You have to make the decision. You're going to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit or not. And it's that imperative mood again. The imperative mood is really interesting study in the whole Greek grammar. But we're not here to do that. We'll just note a few things here. What does this command mean? Walk by the Spirit. How do I obey this command to walk by the Spirit? Okay, I'm going to give you some sub-points. I'm sorry to get so involved here, but I want you to think your way through this. We're now looking at the present active imperative of the verb walk by the Spirit. Sub-point one. Lewis Berry Chafer says, the Scripture does not make the impossible demand upon the believer that he, in his own strength, is to accomplish a walk in the Spirit. And I love that. It is simply our responsibility of a whole dependence on the Holy Spirit, and that by faith in Him, to do what He was sent to us to do. See, as we saw in our salvation, eternal life salvation, there's no part you and I get to take pride. No part where I did this. I walked into this. No, I trusted the Spirit. He caused me to walk the way God would have me to walk. Step point two. Schaefer further refers to our decision to live under a works principle or under a faith principle. He points out that the Bible has us making up our mind. We get to live under a works principle or a faith principle. The Bible emphatically declares a believer is to live under the faith principle throughout our lives. So point three, we walk by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and then by the filling of the Spirit. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. So really this is a mandate to walk by the Spirit, is a mandate to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So point four, this imperative mood with the present tense, present imperative, we walk by faith, is they're put together to describe our walk in life. Here we have the present imperative, walk by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. You put these verses together now. Walk by the Spirit, and then in 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith. We walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And therefore, point five, walk by the Spirit is a command to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. I just want to make it very clear. To walk by the Spirit, in Galatians 5:16, is a command to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. This goes along with Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so in this manner walk in Him. How did you receive Jesus Christ? By faith. How are you going to live the Christian life? By faith. By faith. So they go together. Therefore, again, it is so important to know how to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose power is greater than our flesh nature, greater than Satan, who is outside of us. God says to Paul, inside of you is a power greater than the power in the world. That's over the world, but it's greater than your own flesh nature inside of you. We are to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's note a few things. One, Paul presents a wonderful alternative. Paul presents a wonderful alternative to trying to live by the law, to try to fight the sin nature and the desires of the flesh, than to try to be obedient to the law. Which, by the way, they would be trying to do in their own strength. If you try to live the obedience of the law in the flesh, people, you're trying to do it by the flesh nature, motivated by fear of disobeying the law. So instead of walking by law, Paul here teaches they should characterize their lives by an inward walking with the Holy Spirit, inward desires put forth by the Holy Spirit. Point two, we go back, look again at Galatians 5:5. For we, believers, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. By faith we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. We walk by faith. And as we walk by faith, we can have the hope or the confidence that the Holy Spirit will give us a righteous life. People, you don't have the law out here in front of you. Carry around a piece of paper with over 1,000 do's and don'ts and try to live that way. You don't do that. That's walking by the law. It's very simple. Just as your eternal life salvation was simple. Living a righteous life is simple. You don't do it. The Holy Spirit does it for you, does it in you. He causes you to live a righteous life. You don't struggle with sin. You don't struggle with your flesh nature. You struggle just trusting the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit fights your flesh nature. The Holy Spirit causes you to fulfill the law. For when we are in spiritual love of the Spirit, we fulfill the whole law. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. People, it's the glory of God here, not you. I'm sorry. Oh, I want to do this for the Lord. I want to live a righteous life for the Lord. I want to be good for the Lord. Okay, all He's done, I want to walk by faith in the Spirit. He will do it. You don't do it. He does it. 3, victory over sin, being delivered from the power of sin, is not in an attempted obedience to the law. The law that has been abrogated, by the way, which if you try to live by the law leads to lawlessness. But victory over this is in subjection to a divine person, the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. We believed in the second member of the Godhead to have imputed righteousness. We believe in the trust in the third member of the Godhead, and we have experiential righteousness, experiential sanctification. Walk by means of the Spirit. Walk in your life by means of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. That is, by the power and guiding of the Holy Spirit. The flesh leads to sin. The Holy Spirit is going to lead to a righteous life. Okay, let's take a few points. 1, this may seem elementary, but it's vital. Walking is used in the Bible of getting from one place to another. I know that seems rather simple. Rather simple. Reminds me of the old Green Bay Packers, the great Vince Lombardi. The Packers weren't doing very well. And so he had a meeting with the players, and he stood up in front of them holding a football in his hand, and he said in a very stern voice, "This is a football." And I think Bart Starr went out on a limb here, but Bart Starr spoke up and said, "Coach, can you go a little slower?" See? And everyone laughed, even Lombardi, they said, put a smile on his face, but he went back to his sternness. So we're dealing with simplicity, people. This is the Spirit-filled life. How do you live it? By faith in the Spirit. And the point one here is, that walking is used in the Bible of getting from one place to another. You have to know where you're going, your goal, your objective. Every one of you should have an objective, a goal for your spiritual life every day. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, loving as Jesus Christ loves, glorifying Christ in your life. Should be our goal every day in dealing with home, church, work, wherever you go. I want others to see Christ's love in me, because they're not going to see it anywhere else, people. And point two, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the energy source of the Holy Spirit. And this principle is true throughout all history. All history. Let me read for you, and you can turn to it if you have time. Ezekiel 36:27. Ezekiel 36:27 says, "And I, God, will put my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, within you." In the Old Testament, they could lose the filling of the Spirit. We cannot lose the indwelling of the Spirit, but they could. "And He," the Holy Spirit, "will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." When we walk in the Holy Spirit, we have spiritual love, and spiritual love fulfills all the law. We walk in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. That was an Old Testament passage, maybe a New Testament passage, Romans 8:4. Romans 8:4, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We do not walk according to the flesh. We do not walk according to the law. We walk according to the Spirit. Don't even have to know the law. But you want to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Point 3. We are to walk by the gospel of God, not of man. We've well documented the gospel. The gospel is for the believer and the unbeliever. So we're to walk by the gospel of God, not the gospel of man. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. By the way, just so you'll know, we have the study of the book of Galatians as our basic series, basic foundation. It's probably the first book written by Paul, and it is an excellent book for laying down the foundation. I encourage you, if after you get through this basic series, you kind of want to know where you might want to go, and you want to stay with our study, you don't have to. But if you did, I highly recommend Galatians. But Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which we preach was preached by me is not according to man." We walk by the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is for both unbeliever and believer. Point 4. We are to walk in spiritual love. It's another way of saying walk by faith in the Spirit. For love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Again, I ask, how? How are you going to fulfill the imperative, walk by the Spirit? I hope you understand now. You have to decide whether you believe this or not, but I hope you understand what I'm teaching, and that is that we are filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, by faith. Point 5. Another way of looking at walking by faith in the Spirit is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1:10. "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And how do we do this? Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. We're not just walking around taking a stroll through the park in life. However, I think this is the way that many believers do live their lives. And a lot of them even get out of the park over into the rough. But this is how a lot of believers live their lives, going nowhere in particular. Others are walking with direction. Unfortunately, it's a direction set by the world or by the law. But before God, we're to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit advancing. We're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is our guide in that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow." Here's your goal. Here's your walk daily. Here's your objective. Advancing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So we're to walk in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The glorification of Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit. We saw that in John 16:14. "The Holy Spirit will glorify me." So the first aspect of the Holy Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5 is that we walk by the Holy Spirit. Walk by Him. Galatians 5:16, "But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Now, another statement given by Paul is that we're led by the Holy Spirit. And this is where we'll begin next study. Be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. So we'll resume here the next hour. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for such an easy salvation, free and easy, by grace, through faith. And Father, we praise you and thank you that spirituality, overcoming sin, is easy. It's simple. It's by faith, by grace through faith, trusting your Spirit. Let him battle the flesh nature as we move on glorifying Jesus Christ, as we grow being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, as we love as Christ loved. The Holy Spirit is inside of us fighting the flesh. Father, you've made our sanctification so easy. Our eternal sanctification, experiential sanctification, you've made them so easy. We just walk by faith. Father, I pray now that you'll take the things that we've seen this morning, Galatians chapter 5, make them a reality in the soul of those who have their eyes open to the ministry of the Spirit. Become a reality in their soul and then in their lives as we all struggle to walk in the Spirit. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.